Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. So being tested was nothing new for Jesus. During his ministry, he faced time and time again with situations in which he was asked to defend his teachings against the way they had always done it. Indeed, his entire ministry was preceded by temptation. Just after John baptized him, he was led into the wilderness journey and was tempted to use his status as God's son for ends not becoming to a humble servant. No wonder Jesus recognized the deceit in the Pharisees' spies and the Herodian questions in Jerusalem that last week. He experienced it from the beginning in the forms of an evil incarnate. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Afterwards, he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on a pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands you will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. So it's the last week of Jesus' life. We have to assume he knows what's going to happen. And yet he doesn't lay low. He puts himself out there, susceptible to those who want to trap him and twist his words and get him to say something damning. He cannot turn from his vocation, for he is not only the master teacher, but he is also a prophet and the voice of the divine. And it is that ability of drawing people to his teaching that has posed the threat, a challenge to the authorities. Jesus took many risks by teaching in the temple that final week of his life. At this point in time, he had to be worried about being misunderstood. I mean, that's always a risk when you teach. But the correct climate meant he was the current climate meant he was also risking being arrested. The scripture passage the children and I read together reminds us that the Pharisees plotted to entrap him in what he said. And we know the political currents are ripe for this to occur. I wonder how long the Pharisees and Herodians worked to find the perfect questions for that final test. And why not taxation? It was a discussion then as it is now. Let's be honest. Every political candidate promises to lower taxes. And yet, I haven't seen that actually occur. So many of us, when we are wondering where our tax dollars are going, just want the candidate to show his or her hand. Professor Amy Jill Levine says the question of taxation in the first century Jerusalem was even more difficult. For some of those taxes were not used to provide services to the people, but to provide more money for the Roman Empire. Thus, the question is not, should we pay taxes? The question is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? That's a reference probably to the head tax based on a Roman census information. And of course, we saw hints of that at the beginning of Luke, that census that brought Mary and Joseph to Jerusalem. So Jesus has a problem, a puzzle to figure out. If he says, don't pay taxes to Rome, who is occupying the country, by the way, then you become Caesar's enemy and retaliation will be quick and fast. And if he says, pay your taxes, then several groups will feel alienated from Jesus, whether it is political or religious or both. And the freedom fighters who are yearning to get the illegal Roman government out of Judea will certainly be leading the charge against Jesus. Jesus knows this is a test, the final test. In Greek, that word for test is the same word for tempt or trial. And Jesus has some experience with being put to test, by being tempted, be put to trial. He has been tested by Satan. And now we find these insincere Pharisees and Herodians testing him. How often have we found ourselves being tested or tempted or put on trial by insincere people that we simply want to catch us being wrong? Last week, Pastor Joe preached on the cleansing of the temple, and he reminded us that the offering that the temple required needed a money changer, that the Roman coinage was not accepted in the temple. Thus, money needed to be changed before an offering could be made. So, in our text, Jesus says, bring me a denarius. That's a Roman coin used for taxes. Have you ever wondered why Jesus did that? Amy Jill Levine says, a denarius is a nice chunk of change. It's a big silver coin, and the denarius was the Roman coin engraved on one side with the image of Caesar, although we cannot be sure exactly which coin Jesus' questioners display. The gospel reader may well have thought of the denarius that had a picture of Emperor Tiberius on one side with the inscription in Latin that translated, Caesar Augustus Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus. One did not have to know Latin to get the point. Caesar Augustus had been declared divine by the Roman Senate, and Tiberius was his image. Now, the other side was engraved with a description of a seated woman, probably Tiberius's wife, Julia, And it was inscribed in Latin, Pontif Maxim, which means high priest. Thus, we have this contrast. The Roman Son of God and the Roman priestly system are associated with coinage. Jesus is not. And interestingly enough, Jesus has now caught the Pharisees carrying coinage with the Roman Empire's divinity proclamation on it. You have to wonder if they noted their fight for the holy nation while carrying Roman currency. Okay, so if any of you have a coin on you right now, slip it out. Some of you, I know, do. Some men have changed in the thing. But if you think about our coinage, what is on every piece of coin? The United States of America. It tells who the coins are, right? What's the other thing that is on most of our coins? In God we trust. Most of our coins are just like the Roman times and are designed to promote patriotism. And it can also be used for propaganda, like in Caesar's time. Did you notice that Jesus didn't actually answer the question? Instead, he asked his questioners to determine what belongs to God and what belongs to Caesar. Jesus' questioners are stumped by his answer. There's no comeback. But the question remains. As we are in this season of Lent, might we want to think about what we do with our money and what is done by others with our money? It feels like the world we live in right now, there's a lot of black and white thinking. Lines have been drawn. And lots of people are trying to catch people being bad or on the wrong side, like the Pharisee and Jesus. It's hard to escape the politically charged climate. And perhaps, like Jesus, we shouldn't. Jesus, who had been tested, now becomes our model for times of trial. Did you notice that Jesus doesn't hide or keep his head down when things get heated? He stays consistent when questioned, honest about where he stands, and not afraid of the other side. If you read a few more verses in Matthew, you're going to find the Pharisees continuing to test Jesus. This time, the question is the greatest command question. Remember Jesus' answer? Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets." My friends, in an age where lines are drawn, when people are testing you and each other to see what side you're on, remember who you are and whose you are. Then go and love the Lord your God, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.